Hey, it's Andrew, and first of all, I want to thank you for listening to the Yoga Muzi podcast and just all of your support and spreading our show, not just across the United States, but across the world. It's been such a fascinating experience. We ask you to check out two very important links in our show notes. The first one is to subscribe to our iTunes page where the podcast is, and also leave a review. 15 seconds in your day to somehow manage that, it would help us immensely, and we'd be so grateful. The second thing, our Patreon program. You could donate the bare minimum amount of money that you could find to donate. Anything. We'd be so grateful to help us keep the operations of the program and the content and the fielding of guests, everything that we do to really deliver an average way more than just one episode a week. If you could find it in yourself to click onto the link and just donate whatever you can afford each month, and you could always change it on a monthly basis. It comes right out of your card. Click onto the link. The details will follow from there. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the Yoga Moves You podcast.
If in my high moments I have done some good, offered some service, shed some light, heal some wounds, rekindle some hope, or stir some want of apathy and indifference, or in any way along the way help somebody, then this campaign has not been in vain.
With your host, Andrew Gordon.
Oh my God, she's back, Erin Ward. I thought that I lost her for good.
Oh, never. I'm so happy to be back.
But you were doing that thing called life. You were living. That, that old thing.
Not only was I was living in Costa Rica, which I'll plug it in after, but it inspired me to go back and to bring some people with me on a retreat. But anyway, that's what I was doing, but I'm really happy.
Oh my God. Well, I am happy you're back excavating with you and what this has turned into, you know, because it's really funny. I was listening to the first episode we ever did together, and while I was in California, because I had to put together some samples of the podcast to display, and I was listening to the first one we did. I don't think like either of us knew not only that other people would receive it well, but how much like we would enjoy it. Not to be selfish or anything, but
oh my gosh, I think we have the most fun.
I feel like it. You are back excavating with Erin, which you can find every Wednesday as long as she doesn't disappear again.
Exactly. I promise I won't.
We're gonna have to get you in the registered with some sort of program, like the Yoga Moves You podcast protection program.
Right.
We can track you down. This week's podcast, inspired by your blog at erinrward.com, is called The Pursuit of Truth. And if I said any of that title wrong, correct me, please.
Exactly right.
Okay, so give a little synopsis. Give me the cliff notes of the blog, and then we could go and excavate it a little bit deeper.
This was something that I was contemplating while I was away. So I was in Costa Rica supporting one of my teachers on his retreat, and we all decided to go technology free for 10 days. And so there was a lot of reflection, self-reflection time. And one thing that kept coming up for me was this feeling, you know, what's left when the distraction is taken away, or when our normal kind of tools that we use to navigate the world in this modern moment aren't present for me. It's my phone, my computer, social media, that kind of constant stimulus. Like what I was left with was these really real and raw emotions and things that were coming up for me that I hadn't really, just by the nature of having space and time to look at, were rising to the surface. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. And I gained clarity on a couple different things, that situations in my life that were present. I gained a lot of clarity around if I wanted to move forward with them or not.
Can you give me one example?
For sure. So I'm sure we'll talk about multiple of them, but one of them was a business opportunity that was presented to me in rough form, and it would have taken me across the country for an unknown amount of time. And it would have been an opportunity to create something of my own and to kind of, in some respects, put my stake in the ground, like my name, write my name in the ground and be like, I'm starting this thing and here we go. And partnering with a friend of mine on it. So it was offered to me to go to New York City, where I moved from, and and create, do this startup. And it was all, I would be the front of the brand, the face of the brand, so to speak. And it was exciting when it was first offered. And there was part of me that wanted to go to New York, and part of me that was really stroked, honestly, by the idea of I was inflated by the idea of, oh, I could be like the start of this brand. I could be the outward facing, like I could be the one to lead it. And that was really exciting to me. But when I was in Costa Rica, I realized I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go to New York. And at this point in my life, there's so many other things that I'm building and focused on and excited about, many of which are on the West Coast in LA. And so this blog was kind of inspired by, okay, so you hear it, you know, you make space to hear your truth. Mm-hmm. And to me, that comes in stillness, in silence, in some capacity, if it's 5 minutes, if it's, you know, a retreat situation. But we need to carve out space in our life from technology, from stimulus, from constant movement in order to really hear from the inside. So that's step one. And this is what the blog goes through. Step one is create the environment.
I see that. So I know you have it broken down into steps, and I like the way that you did it. But before we get to that, the method that you've created, or I don't know if it's a method that you came up with, but just the steps that you broke it down into, how to cultivate to be consistent with our truth and how to define that and make choices that are going to benefit us the best. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you more about just the concept of truth and being in sync with your own truth and how that is separate from the truth in general, because there's two different entities. There's truth, which are universal truths, and then there's our truths that may play and interact with universal truths, but that doesn't make your truth better than the other person's truth. But I think the best thing we can do is become closer and find our own truth, which is, again, the process you're helping us to get to. But one of the things you wrote before you got into the steps of this is living in flow with our inner truth is a result of a series of choices that we're constantly making on a moment-to-moment basis. So when you were coming to this decision about this business opportunity, did that play out like that? A series of choices that kept on popping up within this given opportunity?
Yeah. So when I basically realized that it's not what I deeply wanted, that there was something in me that didn't feel like it was in total alignment. From that moment, what followed was all of the, well, maybe it is. Well, maybe this is going to pass. Well, wait, what about, but what if it could be really good? But what if, shouldn't I, like, isn't it the best thing for me? Like all these kind of combative mental thoughts started coming in about testing that truth, you know, is that right? Are you sure? Like, Aaron, are you sure? Isn't this what you always wanted? Like, don't you? But it's a really interesting thing to, no matter what, decide. And this is why I broke it down to the second choice, because it's to me just as big as hearing the truth, is letting it be what it is not needing to change it, is being like, okay, this is my truth. This is genuinely how I'm feeling. that's okay. Like, I'm going to just let that be okay. And the way I kind of tested it, which I didn't really talk about too much in the blog, but the way I tested it was somatically. And all of our listeners who are yoga practitioners or are interested in mind-body awareness might find this helpful. So I was sitting down and I said, okay, I had my eyes closed. And now, granted, I was in Costa Rica in a beautiful space, so I felt relaxed. And I said, okay, I want to go. I want to go to New York. I want to say yes to this opportunity. And I phrased it that way. I put that out. And then out loud, I said, uh-huh. And where the uh-huh landed in my body was my stomach kind of clenching. And I was like, ugh. Like, it was almost like a fake uh-huh. And then I said, I want to go to New York. I want to say yes to this opportunity. I repeated it again. And then I said, uh-uh. And the uh-uh was so, like, I felt my whole spine go into alignment. I was like, my body was relaxed. So I did it again and I reversed it. I said, I want to stay in LA. I want to say no to this opportunity in New York. And I said, uh-huh. And it was like, oh, I felt the same way. I felt light. And then I repeated again and I said, uh-uh. And I felt that sometimes it's so subtle, almost indetectable, but that little like tug of the belly of like the clench, slight clench.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, okay, there's my answer. Like, my body is telling me too. So here's my truth. I tested it somatically with my body. And now the choice is to fight against that truth or to actually try and be okay with it, even if it's uncomfortable.
Now, do you think because, and again, I'm being honest to everyone listening, I don't know the details of the opportunity, nor do I need to, but because I can formulate questions based on the knowledge that I have of it based on its framework. So it sounds like it was a very big opportunity. Of course, it would have meant that you are dropping everything that you moved to LA for and putting the house and betting it all on what was offered to you in New York. Did that play anything into the fear of making that decision? Because it's like, hey, this is out here. This looks great. It sounds great. We're going to do this for you. But in the back of your head, if this doesn't work out, like, I'm giving it all up for this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did, of course, there was kind of fear on both ends of like, what if I go and it doesn't work out? What if I stay and it doesn't work out? You know, what if I'm passing up on something great? What if I go and it's disappointing? The failure, in my experience for the past 6 years or so since I became a teacher, I've actually gotten pretty used to the finding stability in the seemingly unstable. Yeah. It's not always comfortable, but I know that it's within my capacity. It's within all of our capacity, but I've experienced it to make it work. So I wasn't scared of like failing and not being able to survive in New York. But I did, of course, in my like pros and cons ping ponging back and forth, there was the, okay, how am I going to support myself while I'm doing this, as I'm in this startup? And there is something to be said about not wanting, there was a part of me that is excited about what's being built already in LA. And it was more about not wanting to kind of throw in the towel here for someone else's dream out there, even if the dream could turn into this, the next soul cycle or whatever. It was still, there was something in me that was like underneath of the ego and underneath of the fear of missing out. What is actually resonating with me. And that's the truth. Like, that's our capital T truth.
Yeah.
And it has very little to do, in my opinion. It doesn't always line up with how things should go or how we think it needs to go in the world. In fact, it can kind of piss people off sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you do break the learning to live with our inner truth and flow with it in a series of choices that we have to make constantly, because there's a lot of variables that are in flux all the time. So therefore, if the baseline is truth, then we're going to have to find our way back to truth according to all these floating variables that just weave their way in and out of our existence every day. So you've come up with this step-by-step way how to navigate, the first one being the choice to create an environment for oneself that is conducive to the listening. For you, you said that was Costa Rica. In this case, it just happened to end up that you were there while this was going on. But I think everyone can carve out that place. My wife and I, we don't have a mansion, but we have a home and we have a creative space. So for me, it's the creative space, the room that we've dedicated for this. It's conducive to listening to my intuition to come in here. And whether I'm working on sound stuff and editing and producing, or I'm in here practicing yoga, mm-hmm. It's my space.
Right.
And it's away from everyone else. Now, if you don't have that space and you're in an office every day or you're in a classroom every day, I remember teaching in schools, and in between bells, the students came, I would just do like 3 or 4 half sun salutation A's. And that was a reset button. So
I love that. That's beautiful.
There's always a way to find it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not like, okay, today's Wednesday. In these 10 minutes, I'm going to hear my truth. It's really about releasing the expectation or the need for it. And it's about setting up the environment for when it's ready, or when, for whatever needs to be known, asking it to come in and float through, and then keep continuing to show up for it. Because when it's true, it wants to be heard. It's not like it's hiding. It's like our truth wants to be heard. There's just things that are put in its way on the day to day.
Yeah, and perhaps sometimes those are challenges that really present an opportunity to become closer to our truth, or to walk away from what our truth is. So it's like little tests to see if you have that clarity. But in a way, those are good, because for you, ultimately, and for many people, when you do sit with it and you don't act impulsively, which I'm guilty of, but certainly yoga and meditation has helped me become a little bit less impulsive over the years. It's a practice. You arrive at that truth, which is always going to be in alignment with your greatest good.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So, and you talk about the second choice, giving ourselves permission to allow the truth to be so. And we kind of glanced over that because we're overstimulated and we are being told so many different messages, not only by our friends and our family, but just by the messages that we scroll through on Instagram and every other media. We're truly inundated. So it could be, like you said, you had a lot of doubt, and that's normal in my mind.
When a
big decision presents itself, you know, it's like, you could get stuck in the analysis paralysis.
Right. Yeah.
So when you give yourself permission to allow the truth to settle in, right, and you have the space to go inside and find it, how did you work through? And I know you gave me a little example of when you went, you know, and you felt it, right? But for people listening that may be going through a decision that's coming up, whether it's coming to them that they have to make it, or they're thinking about free will choosing to make it because they want to. Sometimes we don't have the choice. We have to pick and choose because a situation arises, or sometimes we're looking for a change and we go out and decide to make a change without one coming to us. What advice can you give those people that may be going through that doubt? Because there is doubt, and the doubt, it comes from the voices that are wired in our head all the way back from childhood.
Right. Well, I think it goes back to the first choice with the setting up the environment. So looking towards tools and techniques that will continually allow us to tap back into that place where we can listen. And then from there, once we have that truth, when we start to hear the argument against it, which is going to be in our head, you know, because very rarely will someone combat you on your internal truth, then we can turn again to techniques that will help us remain focused and steady in that truth. So one of them that I really like is what's called free writing. And basically it's there's no constriction, there's no real structure for this exercise besides the time. So I like to do it for 10 minutes, but if you have longer, you can do it for 15, 20. And your only goal is to write every possible thing that comes to mind, comes to heart when you're dealing with the decision or when you're dealing with what your truth might or might not be. So anything that might be present or resonant, you basically just spill it out on a page for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And if you're not overthinking it, it's most likely coming from the same place where your intuition arises from and the creative spark arises from. It's not, you cannot overanalyze things when you're free writing like that.
Right. And there's no editing and there's no like stopping to be like, oh, is that what I really mean? No, it's just you go straight through and you let it get gritty. You know, you write about the things, you write about the fear, you write about how it's making you feel, what it's doing to you, what's the worst possible scenario. You let every possible thing come out on paper. And then when you're done, you take the page, you rip it up, you crumple it, you rip it up, you tear the energy into shreds and you throw it away. And then from there, it's almost like you took on the chalkboard, you just wet the rag and wiped right over it. And it's like, okay, yeah. Now I'm back to a blank slate. How do I feel? Now that all of that noise has somehow been expressed, what's real?
Yeah.
And it's in those maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes, you're sitting after the exercise, you're sitting in your container that you've created through writing, through stillness. Maybe you light a candle, you make it smell good, you invite yourself in. It's in those 1 to 2 to 3 minutes before the rest of the world gets back at you that you have the conversation with yourself. Okay, what is true for me?
And then I think once you find that truth, something you talk about taking action that supports it is questioning. And this is very common that this comes up, where you question the comfort that you have living in your current truth or your current existence for this other existence or this other new way of being, which is the truth that is speaking to you. But do I step out of my comfort zone? Do I leave the stable job that I'm not quite ecstatic to go to, but it pays the bills? But truth is telling me, this intuition is telling me that whatever it is, whatever opportunity is, or whatever pursuit or thing that's speaking to you through this vessel that is, in this case, truth, is scary because it's the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I mean, there's the hearing it, there's the allowing it to be so, you know, radical acceptance. And then there's the, okay, to live in this truth, to bridge it into the real world. What are the action steps? Is there anything that needs to be done? And in my case, there were conversations that need to be had to assert this truth to the people involved.
Yes.
One was professional and one was personal.
Sure.
One was, I don't want to be in this business relationship. And one was, we're on different pages in this romantic relationship.
Gotcha.
So it was, to me, it was a kind of a, in these scenarios, it was because I also knew I needed to make decisions. I had kind of like a timeline that if I prolonged the conversations, then there would just be more suffering on everyone's end because it's kind of that weird limbo place.
Yes.
So for me, it was kind of, okay, how am I going to make these decisions? How am I going to figure it out? And then in hindsight, I was like, oh, it happened in stages. Like, there are the stages for me. That's how it played out. So that's what inspired this whole kind of more structured way of looking at truth.
Well, and I want to add to that, because I was thinking about this as you were speaking about that situation. One way to clearly know that you are not in full alignment with your truth is that you make everyone happy. Because if you're really living in full alignment with your truth, you're going to make some people happy, and you might have to disappoint a few people, not because you want to or because you're a bad person. It's just because you've empowered yourself to take control of your life and live on your terms and choose your own truth.
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel like that's what you were doing, and which is good. It's strength, really. I mean, why would you put yourself into a situation if it's, again, if it's calling out to you, and then the next step you're saying is to take action upon it, and then moving forward into that, the supporting of that truth was what kept calling out to you to build its case even more. Well, you have to let those people know. And sure, sometimes that leads to frustration or disappointment, but what's the greater good? Going into a situation which intuitively you're now feeling after meditating on it and going through these steps that you've laid out, that it's not right for you. And what, a year from now you tell them it's not right after there's more emotions and capital invested in it and what else is involved in the situation? I think that it was brave of you to step up and speak your truth now. You saved everyone pain. It may hurt for them now, but you saved them a year from now and yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And I mean, I think that's the investment in truth, right? It's a long-term game. It's like, what am I putting energy into now? Because it's true rather than what's comfortable.
So you also talk about the truth container. That's the last piece of your steps about how to find the capital T, the truth, the big truth that we're going to find in a certain situation at pivotal points in our lives. Can you elaborate a little bit more about the truth container? And I know we spoke about a few different ways to find truth in the last step, meditation. The second step in meditation, and you were in Costa Rica. And, you know, I say practicing yoga for me always allows me to move my body in a way that gets me out of my head, and then I'm able to find a little more truth and clarity. But you talked about the journaling. Is there anything else that you could suggest? That in your last piece, you have the truth container. So one of my favorite ways to create a still environment is through breath manipulation. And then you talk about a practice of breath.
Right. Yeah, right. So I offer a practice, basically, in my opinion, that stillness that we're looking for, that is so powerful in helping us make decisions and helping us really get present and aware of what's happening for us. I think the most accessible way to do that is through breath. And definitely yoga asana is amazing, mostly in my opinion, because it drums up an awareness of breath. And even if you're not, if you're new to the practice or it's not in your practice to readily notice the breath, you're still asking your body to draw it into a greater degree. And that's what gives you that zen feeling, that feeling afterward of, oh, okay, I practiced. I feel good. I have space. I'm open. Blood is moving. Yeah. Breath, lungs are pumping. So I say, why not use breath manipulation, breath practice, breath techniques as a way to pull that feeling in all the time. And I love the breath of fire, Kapalabhati breathing.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And I have people, I ask, I mean, in this blog is just a really short way to do it, and offering that, just let's see what happens. It again involves a timer, and you find a comfortable seat. And then if you have a certain situation, like I was dealing with, like, what do I really want here? Or what should I do? Or what should I do that would be in service of the highest good? Kind of asking for that wisdom. You set that question out there, have a journal close by, and then move through 3 rounds of Kapalabhati breathing. It's 100 breaths pumping out the breath. If anyone wants to know exactly what that is, they can, it's definitely resources online, or they can reach out.
It's on the blog too.
Yeah, they can reach out to us, me directly. And so you move through this pumping breath, this invigorating breath, followed by a really short breath retention. And in my experience, that combination, it's like shaking up the snow globe and letting it resettle and finding the stillness.
Yeah, and to sum it up really simply, it works, is what I would say.
Yeah.
So it's been referred to also as breath of fire or skull shining breath, mm-hmm. Which if you really, really get a vigorous one going, you feel like your skull is, head's tingling, this is great. But one thing I always feel, which may help in reference to this blog, if your mind is clear, then certainly you're in a better place to arrive at your truth than if your mind is cluttered. What I am done with this breath, the one word that comes to me is just, I feel clear. Whatever I was thinking before doing this breath practice, I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's the best, because then it's like, oh, is it actually, maybe it's not actually that important. Or like it doesn't need to weigh on me as much as it did, because I brought myself back into a place of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And the last thing I was going to say that you brought up, I didn't want to interrupt you, talking about the asana practice in a relationship with meditation, how the two are hand in hand, but at the same time, they're a little bit different. You can meditate without doing the physical asana practice. I will say this, sometimes for me, and then I know for other people, they have trouble meditating, like sitting down and really getting still. It's right. Like, it's almost impossible. And what I find is, imagine when you just start a yoga class, and let's just say you start that class in an easy seated position, okay? So for most of us, easy seated position is a pretty comfortable place to be, mm-hmm. right? But still, we come in from our day to the studio or to, you know, the setting that we're practicing yoga. And even though that's an easy, comfortable seated position, our mind is not calm and our breathing is not where it needs to be. It's because we're bringing in all of the layers of stuff with us onto the mat because class just began. I think the asana helps in the sense that we put ourselves in positions that are not comfortable and we hold those positions depending on the class so that our mind is now focusing on those poses and breathing through those poses. Your mind might at some point say, I want to get out of this, but you know, you use the practice to stay in and come bit to the breath. And then by the time you're back down into a more relaxing pose, like you came in 25, 30 minutes ago when you first came to class, now you could truly get into that state of meditation because your appreciation for that comfortable seat and your mind preparedness and your breath appreciating the state of being calm is much more salient than when you first came in after putting yourself through these uncomfortable asanas.
Right. I totally agree. I think that was really nicely articulated. And
thank you.
I would add that the postures then become just containers, right? Containers for breath in different, and you reshape the container. You put the container this way, you put it this way, sometimes you put it upside down, and you just give your breath a chance to travel in different directions and come upon different parts of your body from different angles. So in some ways, I think, yes, while you can meditate, definitely meditate without any physical practice at all, it just gives you a slightly, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but there is the possibility of going deeper, more quickly, because, like you said, your body, the kind of experience of your day, your reality has been exercised through your cells, through your physical
yes.
body.
There we go. Erin Ward excavating. I would like to say every Wednesday, but I don't know. She's got a lot, got a lot going on.
We're going to get back on it.
All right. All right. Well, I hope that is the case. I know people look forward to it. I certainly look forward to it. And thank you for coming on the Yoga Muzi podcast, Finding Truth.
I'm so happy. I love you and I love the community so much. And I can't wait to talk about more cool things.
The Yoga Muzi Podcast with your host, Andrew Gordon.
Hey, it's Andrew. And first of all, I want to thank you for listening to the Yoga Muzi podcast and just all of your support and spreading our show, not just across the United States, but across the world. It's been such a fascinating experience. We ask you to check out two very important links in our show notes. The first one is to subscribe to our iTunes page where the podcast is, and also leave a review. 15 seconds in your day to somehow manage that, it would help us immensely, and we'd be so grateful. The second thing, our Patreon program. You could donate the bare minimum amount of money that you could find to donate. Anything. We'd be so grateful to help us keep the operations of the program and the content and the fielding of guests, everything that we do to really deliver an average way more than just one episode a week. If you could find it in yourself to click onto the link and just donate whatever you can afford each month, and you could always change it on a monthly basis. It comes right out of your card. Click onto the link. The details will follow from there. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the Yoga Moves You podcast.